Yes, good morning. How are you doing there all? Doing all right? Yes. Have you noticed? Yes, there's a new mic. Thank you, Chris, for helping out. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be able to get this, because I think it's going to help my voice project better, because my voice goes all over the place, especially when I'm turning around and all that stuff. So praise the Lord. That's another praise that we got there. So unto the Lord. Last week, before I even say anything, I want to tell you how powerful the family of Christ really is. Because when you think about all of those 12 disciples, and you really look at just the differences, the variety, and Christ brought them together, because he's the one that broke down that dividing wall, that barrier that separates people, you know, from status, from ethnicity, maybe their families, it could be the color of their skin, there could be their language, anything, but he broke all that down and says, come follow me. Follow me. Because now we are one family together. Bring us together. And why I was thinking about that, because Vonda, she's a Steelers fan and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and we should not be in the same building together. You know, so I just always remember that. But we're here and we're still alive, and because it's Christ alone, right? He is our cornerstone, and he's the one that builds us up, and we build one another up, no matter, you know, even though we have differences and things like that. So just praise the Lord. Last week we were talking about, you know, Christ, and he's just continuing on building his kingdom, right? He's just moving forward. Nobody can stop him, and he just keeps going. And one of the people asked, you know, how many people who's going to be saved? How many could get into the kingdom of God? And he didn't really answer that as much as he just said, this is who's going to get into the kingdom of God. The person who gets in the kingdom of God is that person who makes every effort to go to Christ. Just like Mary, she put aside all those demands and all the distractions to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to his voice, to learn from him, to develop a relationship. That's what gets us in to the kingdom, because Christ has already done it all for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So all we really need to do is just say, yes, I'll follow you. I'll sit at your feet. I'll put my iPad aside. Which I didn't do last night, and I got in trouble. you know, things like that. Putting things aside, you know, putting things off. Some things that kind of demand our attention, but then it just takes us away from taking those moments before Christ. So, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, come on, seek me first. And you're not going to lack any good thing. You're not going to lack anything. And you know what? When that announcement of that great salvation banquet is shouted out, you're going to be there and ready, and you're going to get into that narrow door, which is Christ. But if you don't know what's going on, and you're over there doing this and doing that and paying attention to this and that or whatever, you're not going to hear the announcement. And you know what's going to be the problem is you're going to be, the door's going to be slammed in your face. And you're going to be looking in at this great salvation banquet, and you do not want to be there. And so Jesus carries on from that message. Then there's some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. You know, so there's those words, you know, that he's meeting, what's going on here. So he's facing opposition all the time, right, to his words. And so when I was thinking, well, when I was reading the scripture, the word courage just jumped at me. You know, and Jesus had courage of a lion. You know, what do you think? When you go to the zoo, what animal are you really looking for most of the time? Which one is the star of the show? It was sometimes, yeah, elephant. Yeah, yeah. Elephants are pretty good, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I tell you something, I know when I go to a zoo or a safari, the lion's got the big show. And he might be off somewhere sleeping. You might see his, you know, maybe his mane behind a rock or something, but you're still going, oh, oh, lion. See? You know, the lion, you know, because what does a lion represent? What does it represent? King. What else? Strength and power. What else?
Courage.
Pride. Great leader. You know, it takes a lion. You know, they got all these other lionesses, and they got that lion. Usually it's one or two, you know, lions, male lions out there, you know, and they're taking care of their pride. And you should see them when the hyenas come along, right? There's a big battle. You know, and I tell you something, when that lion comes into that pack of hyenas, those hyenas are, they're getting out. And he usually focuses upon one thing, one hyena. It's usually, it might be the leader of that pack, and he gets it. He gets his jaws on it. See, he's focused on a goal. That's the one. That's the leader of the pack. And that lion goes after it. Well, you know, Jesus is doing the same thing. See, he's going to Jerusalem. His focus, he is really focused upon going to Jerusalem. We'll talk more about that as well. So the question is, you know, we don't know how he's going to be received as he's going to Jerusalem, because we're going to talk a little bit more about Jerusalem and what that's about. You know, how are they going to receive him? How are they going to receive this prophet that a lot of people think he is? All right, and we'll just see that as we go on in the scripture today. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, this is your word, and we just praise you for it. That we thank you that we even have the ability to be able to read your word. And, Lord, to hear your voice as we open our hearts. I pray that you'll do that even now, Lord, that you'll teach us new things. Remind us of things that we used to know. Lord, encourage us to stand firm like a lion, be courageous. And guide us in our understanding, open our hearts, melt the hardness away, and draw us to yourself. And may your name receive all the glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Wow. Ooh, that's kind of I can stick my head in there like those guys. Yeah, he's kind of vicious, right? Those lions are tough. Did I turn this on? No. Now we got it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, when Jesus, a little bit further down in here, you know, when he was walking towards Jerusalem, his heart is for the people, right? And he just goes, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I have a picture of an old Jerusalem, and this one is what Jerusalem looks like today. You know, more modernized and stuff like that. But it's a city. It's a very important city, especially to the Jewish nation, of course. But I think it's really for the world, because it's called the City of David. But there's a special thing that happened there. God made a covenant with David and his descendants. It's a Davidic covenant that follows into where Christ was born as the true king. And we know that he's coming back again in his time, imminently, even now. He can come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's that covenant he made with David. And God is able to keep that promise, and he is. It's a center of religious life for the Jews, you know, and so, you know, whatever is coming out of there, You know, and Jerusalem's not just walls and city, because like this, the church isn't just this facility, it is the people, right? And what it represents, the people and the religious leaders and all that going on in there. So when you see that, you hear him saying Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he's really talking about people. Then it says about, you know, killing the prophets. I was going, wow, wow, who was killed in Jerusalem? Because I know a lot of prophets got killed in Samaria, and that wasn't Jerusalem. Yeah, but then I look and a little bit more, and by tradition, Isaiah was killed by the king Manasseh, and Habakkuk was stoned by the Jewish people, and Zechariah was killed by the sword, and then don't forget Stephen, who might not have been a prophet, but he was prophesying there to them. Stephen was martyred there in Jerusalem, stoned as a guy named Saul watched, who God got a hold of his heart, and his name was changed to Paul. So there was a lot of that. And we know throughout the history of Israel, and especially into times after David and Solomon, we know that when the kingdom was divided, and both in Judah and which was one kingdom, and then Israel was the other kingdom, you know, they rejected the word of God often. How many prophets he sent? Many. And he, more than what the Bible has named. And yet, they rejected. They rejected that. Unwilling to be gathered by God. God's just saying, come to me. And they're going, no, 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 we got our own thing going on here. We're building our own kingdom. Remember, we're kingdom building, right? We build our own kingdom, our own personal kingdoms. But God is building an overall kingdom, an awesome kingdom that's eternal. Our kingdoms will fall one day, but his kingdom goes for eternity. And then Jesus says this, look, your house is left to you desolate. And I was going, wow, that's really harsh. But when I think about it, you know, in the days of Moses, they built the tabernacle. And what happened in that tabernacle? Well, God blessed it by bringing his presence there. He filled the tabernacle with his glory, so much that Moses couldn't even go into the tent. And the Ark of Covenant was there, and that means his presence. He was dwelling among his people at that time. And then as time went on, they got a vision. You know, David had a vision, and then Solomon built a temple for God just to honor his name. And God filled that temple in the day of Solomon with his glory, and no one could go in. And his presence was there in the Ark with the Ark of the Covenant. So, you know, there's fullness. You know, what happens in that temple is a communion between man and God. There's confession, forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. There's reverence, praises. There's prayer going on there. There's communion going on there. There's life, abundance going on between God and man. You know, that high priest going in there before God, he's representing the people of Israel. But his presence is just filling up not just that temple, but it's going throughout the earth. And it's wonderful and powerful. But then the Israelites decided to build their own kingdom. And they started bringing in other things, little idols, little gods, little things into the temple. They weren't treating foreigners or widowers or orphans correctly. There's a lot of blood, innocent blood being spilt. They were worshiping not only just idols, but the stars and everything else. What happened? God couldn't remain there anymore, not amongst the dirtiness. His holiness cannot reside in an unclean area. he left. When did he leave? I don't know. When did the Ark of Covenant leave that temple? I don't know. I was talking with Joy. It doesn't mention, but his presence left. Desolation. Emptiness. You know what's in there now? You know, now you have this second temple when they built that when they came back from exile. And then Herod got a hold of it, and he started making it more beautiful and putting gold and all that stuff. But, you know, as we know, people can all make themselves look all good and nice and all straight and righteous and all that stuff. But what's going on inside? It's desolate. It's filled with man-made rules and traditions and rituals just to make themselves feel better and think that they can reach God. It's filled with emptiness and selfish ambition. It's not filled with the presence of God. And so it was desolate. And here is Jesus speaking to them. And little did they know, they had the indwelling God right in front of them. Right there in front of them. All the signs and miracles are pointing to it. No, we're not willing to be gathered by you because we have our own agenda. You're not good enough for us. So go on your own way. It's absence of God's guidance and relationship. A bad place to be in. But, praise the Lord, we got this. The Lion of Judah. See, Jesus, that's one of his names. The Lion of Judah. Because he was courageous. He is courageous. He had his sights set. And he knew Jerusalem was that leading pack dog. He's going after it. And he's going in there, and he's going to declare his message. And then he's going to do something nobody thought he would ever do, and that means he would die on the cross for everybody, no matter how ugly or sinful we are, or how bad we think we are, or how unworthy we think we are. He died for us all. Because he can. Because that was his goal. He had a clear goal. Have you ever driven behind somebody who did not know where they're going? Have you? I have. I'm sitting there going, which way is he going? And then I'm going, I got to get around this guy. I'm going, I don't know which way he's going. You know, and stuff like that. And I've also been that person driving in the city. He's going, huh? Where's that number? I'm going, I'm looking behind my mirror going, oh, man, like that. You know, I know how it feels to be somebody that doesn't know where he's going. You know, a lot of times we think we know where we're going, but we don't have a real sense of a true goal without Christ. See, Jesus had a real sharp, clear goal. His Father was saying, go, follow me. He was following every step, every word was from the Father all the way to Jerusalem. Clear goal. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the truth. And he was going after it. He knew who he was and where he was going. But a lot of us think that we know where we're going and we got our own goals, but you know what? Those goals get changed because something fails or we weren't good enough to get there. Somebody else stole something, you know, got in our way and cut off, took away our goal. You know, there's so many things, right? We set up our goals, which, you know, and it's fine. It's good to have goals in life. I tell you, it is. It's important. You should know, you know, you should have some goals set up, some objectives and goals. You know, how you're going to get to that goal and stuff like that. But beware, because that goal only takes you so far. A man-made goal, man-focused goal, it's only temporary. And you might not reach it. But when you have a Christ-centered goal, you will reach it because you're not going in your own strength. Because now you got the line of Judah backing you up. And if you look at the word of Judah, Judah, you know, one of the tribes of Israel, that is the where the kings came from, you know, the line of David, and which, you know, Jesus is in that line. Judah means praise and thanksgiving. So like, have you ever, when you went to that zoo or that night safari, and I've been to both, and you hear that roar of a lion. When you hear, have you ever heard his roar? Have you ever heard his roar? I have. We've heard it like a leopard, even a leopard. I mean, there's even a leopard is smaller than a lion, or you're going, whoa. But I've heard the lion, and you're just going, wow. It catches your attention, doesn't it? It actually gives you, kind of scares you. You're going, ah. Oh. You know, where is he? Is he going to jump on me? Have me for a little snacky? Yeah, I could be floating on my tube out there in the river. And be, ah, there. Thank you, Audrey, Dave, for that. You know, I know Vernon and Ann are, I can't pick on them. So, but, you know, but when he roars, he's not roaring hateful words. He's roaring praise. Praise unto the Father. He's roaring out thanksgiving unto the King of Kings, the creator of the universe. And you know, that catches your attention. Go, wow. And you know, as I was reading in Deuteronomy, and it's amazing how God will speak to you. You know, but these words just jumped out to me. There's two verses. We're going to read this one. There's another one. Can you all read this for me? One, two, three. That's a truth. When he roars, he's roaring this. The Lord is your life. Choose it. Because I tell you something, a lot of times we're not. We're choosing death. We're choosing curses the way we live sometimes. Right? Choose life. And that's that temple life. Right? That temple life with the Lord. Having that communion, listening to his voice, loving him, holding fast to him. It's powerful. Next one. Please read this for me. One, two, three. Do you hear that? Do you hear who they're talking about here? This is Moses. God put in this Moses' heart. Moses gave him the law, talking to him how to live and how to live for God, a holy life. And he says, well, command your children. You know, to me, I feel, he said, teach your children to obey carefully all the words. And those words aren't just idle words when people say, oh, they're just idle. They don't mean anything, right? They don't have any relevance in my life. But they do. They give life. Powerful words. A roar heard by all. When you speak these words, people hear the reception. You know, when I was thinking about just coming here and he said, and Jesus says, well, after he says to your house is desolate. And then he says, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that can mean a lot of things, okay? And I don't, that's a whole nother sermon or three or four or five, right? I'm just going to touch a little bit. But, you know, some people think it's a triumphal entry, you know, where people were praising him and stuff like that. But it really wasn't the people of Jerusalem doing it. It was his own Galilean group that was praising him. Did you know that? And the Pharisees saying, hey, shut these guys up. It wasn't the people of Jerusalem as much. There might have been a couple in there, I don't know. But it was mainly the Galilean crowd that was following Christ. So it probably wasn't that. And some people say, well, it's the second coming, you know, he's coming on the clouds here. He's, you know, here it says, you know, You can just read that. Yeah, we don't have to read it out loud, but that's just something to put up there, you know, coming in the clouds. You know, and there's going to be many mourning because they didn't know who he was. They missed out, right? They missed out on the truth. They didn't hear his roar. They didn't hear him calling his name, saying, come to me. Let me gather you up under my wings. But they weren't willing. And so now he comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they're going to be mourning. And hopefully there will be some. And Revelation, Revelation 7 it might be, that they talk about these 144,000 Israelites who were sealed with the living, had the seal of the living God. So we know that something's going on there. Now, if that's after, you know, you have to determine when that's coming up. But here's an acknowledgement. This is what Christ, you know, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. This is truth. This is a roar. He's roaring to catch our attention and to cause us to understand that, you know, we're not all that. We're not God. He is Lord of Lords. Come to him. Receive him. You know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Receive him as your Christ, as your Savior, as your King. So what do we do? Well, first of all, you got to ask yourself that question. Is your heart desolate? Do you have all, is it empty? Is there just rituals and rules in there for you? Are you pursuing a true relationship with Christ and sitting at his feet? Are you having communion with him? Do you walk with him? Do you love him as he loves you? Do you listen to his voice? Do you hold fast to him in all times, good and bad? That's a question you have to ask yourselves. And another one is here, you know, have you received him? Have you called out and said, so come, I need you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Fill me up with your glory. See, the temple is no longer the structure anymore. Did you know that? The temple is right here of every believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the temple is here. The Ark of the Covenant is here. The most holy of holies is here. And we have that wonderful, precious fellowship with the living God. And we are, you know, is it not just a, oh, we'll go to church on Sunday? No, it's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment thing with God. It's not just Sunday. We come here, you know, gather as a family in Christ on Sundays, but when we walk on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and so forth, so on. We're still the temple. We got the temple. We got the very presence, the indwelling Christ in us. He's tabernacling with us. Did you know that? Remember that. You got all that power to live it out, not your own, to live it out and be one of those who builds his kingdom, reaches others. Because really, he calls us to be like this. Courage of the Lion of Judah. He wants us to be like him. He said, you know, can you read that for me, please? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Do you hear those words? Do you believe those words? Wherever you go, he's there with you. You know, Joshua was taking this ragtag people across this river into a land of people who are much stronger, more numerous. Oh, man, I don't think I would have wanted to be Joshua. I don't think so. You want, I'm good. Okay, guys, hey, let's go. Let's get grouped up. We're going over to Russia. We're going to take them down. It's pretty much the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing. Man, I don't think we really grasp the craziness of that. And so I understand these words, don't you? It was mentioned to Joshua 3 times, I think. There's a reason why. Be strong and courageous, Josh, because you're doing something that's insane. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. I'm with you. I'm with you. So don't be discouraged. Don't be terrified by those Russians or whoever, or Putin. Go. Go. And I'll be there for you. I'm dwelling with you. So be courageous, even in our family, in our job places, in our schools, in our teams, in our community, our country. We should be roaring, roaring, roaring like a lion, praising the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him. You know, this is a thing that you can do this week. When you have an opportunity, you might be amongst people you don't even know. I don't know. Give praise to God. Just do it. Just think, you know, there's tons of things to praise him for. Oh, that beautiful flower. I saw that flower. It just made me feel so good. Thank you, Lord. Father, just think about those people around you, what they'd be going to be. That guy's roaring at me. He's roaring at me. You did get a little scared. They might yell at you. Get out of here. They might. They might be scared. They'll be scared of you. When you hear the truth, when you hear Christ, when you hear God's name being honored and thanked and praised, it is like a roar. So roar. Roar this week. Roar every day. Wherever you are, roar for him. Roar like that courageous lion so we can build his kingdom, because they're going to hear it. And they might reject it at that time, but it's gonna bother them, because like, when you hear that roar, that lion, you can't shake it for a while. And God uses that to penetrate those hard hearts. And before you know it, these most unlikeliest of people will be coming to Christ. No way can that person come to Christ. They don't deserve it. They're not good enough. No way. Oh, they're so far off. They're addicted to this and that. Oh, they no way. You know what? Nothing is impossible for God. That's that lion, the Lion of Judah. Have courage like Joshua. Have courage like the Lion of Judah, and roar for him, for his glory. Let's pray. Father God, again, yeah, we roar. We want to roar. So give us the courage. Because I know we keep silent. There's times, I know, I do. There's times to roar, and I just go, no, can't do it. I'm not ready. I'm not courageous enough. So give us courage, Father. Give us courage to roar. Because when we roar, people are going to hear your name being glorified. And in that, oh, Father, you're going to break down the walls of the enemy that keep these people from coming to you. That's what it's about. That's what we're here for. You've already saved us. Oh, Lord, we know that you want to gather all to yourself like a hen, his chicks, under your wings. So many people are unwilling. But, Father, may we roar and help them understand that there is a true living God that loves them, as looking to gather them into his everlasting arms. His everlasting arms. So give us courage, Father. Give us courage to roar those praises, roar those thanksgivings unto you, so others can hear and be saved as well as you work your wonders, your grace, salvation wonders. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and all his people say, amen. Amen.